Peggy King, who recently renewed her singing career after a 22-year hiatus, during which she raised her family here in Philadelphia. In the 1950s, Peggy King was a regular on The George Gobel Show and a guest on virtually all the variety shows of the decade. She returned to performing last year with a Philly Pops concert, a 3-week engagement at Michael's Pub in New York, and a live studio concert here on Fresh Air. Her first album in years has just been released. It's titled Oh, What a Memory We Made, which is also the title of a Johnny Mercer song which she sings on the album. The album is recorded on the Stash record label. Before I speak with Peggy King, let's hear a selection from it. This is Cole Porter's I'm in Love Again.
I'm in love again, and the spring is coming. I'm in love again. Hear my heart strings strumming. I'm in love again. And the hymn I'm humming is the huddle up, cuddle up blues. I'm in love again, and I can't write above it. I'm in love again, and I love, love, love it. I'm in love again, and I'm darn glad of it. Good news. I'm in love again. Love again, and my pulse is climbing. I'm in love again, and the words I'm rhyming are the loveliest, doviest twos. I'm in love again. I'm a cuddly kitten. I'm in love again. By the bug I'm bitten, I'm in love again. You might say I'm smitten. Good news. I'm in love again. And the earth is quaking. I'm in love again. And my knees are shaking. I'm in love again. And the plans I'm making are for taking a honeymoon cruise. I'm in love again. I'm in love again. I'm a daisy growing. I'm in love again. And I'm glow, glow, glowing. Good news. I'm in love again. And with glee I bubble. I'm in love again, and the fun's just double. I'm in love again. If I get in trouble, I'll be cursing one person I know. Again. Wedding bells are ringing. Let's go. I'm in love again. Wedding bells are ringing. Let's go.
Peggy King from her new album, Oh, What a Memory We Made. That was Cole Porter's I'm in Love Again. And should we mention who wrote the middle verse?
Well, there weren't enough verses to make it build like that, so I filled in with some hearsay verses that you hear sung at parties here and there, and some of my own things. You know, it's very often you'll get stuck at a record date with a lyric that won't wash or that doesn't, you know, that won't sell, or that, well, it's not so bad now, but there was a time when you couldn't say certain things. But here we just needed to build more. So I reached back in my memory to what I'd heard at parties where I supposedly Cole Porter had been around the Metro a lot before I got there. I don't know whether I couldn't have remembered them verbatim, so I just wrote as, you know, I did them as best I could. I can't find them anywhere, so they must be mine, I guess. And I'm always afraid to say that because I knew somebody who thought he wrote this marvelous little German lead, and I was going through a whole book of German leader, and I found it. So we didn't write it after all. No, I did.
No, but it's alarming when you're not sure if you made it up.
No, I made up for the most part. I, you know, made it up. Yeah, it is 1929, so it's getting very close to public domain now. It really is. People can't believe that's 1929. Because it's today, very today.
Well, let me say, Peggy, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thanks very much.
It's great to have an album of yours available again. What was the concept you were looking for in the record?
The first thing I was looking for was a calling card, you know, to let people know that I am back singing. And it's very difficult just to say to people, I'm singing again, and hand them some kind of cassette. You really do need an album. And I just wanted a very good album with standards. And there's one song of mine, a new song here that I wrote with Dick Hyman. And I wanted a kind of a Peggy King Today album. The cover is a little wilder than I had anticipated. It looks a little punk rocky to me, but that's just the haircut. The album cover is attracting a lot of attention, so they tell me in New York. I have this awful feeling that people will buy it thinking it's a punk rock album and go home and bring it back, you know. But you really do need a kind of startling cover today. There's so many concepts in album covers. That's why I went to black and white.
You had, I think, someone do your makeup and your hair.
Well, Way Bandy, who is supposedly at this time the greatest makeup man in the world, made me up. And Howard Fugel, who does all the Cosmopolitan and the Vogue and all those covers, did my hair. That's why it's so wild. And the great British photographer David King, who's no relation, by the way. I like the pictures, and I have some photographs for you know, publicity now, and I have some for future albums.
How does their image of you compare to your own?
Well, their image of me is much more glamorous than how I think of myself. My children were absolutely, you know, crazed when they saw this album cover, because they think of me as that lady sitting around in the old blue house coat, you know, with no makeup on. And I don't know. I think it's just that they never had a chance to get used to me. As Peggy King, I was always mom. It's not like I was in the business when they were kids. And they're getting a little more used to it now. I really think everybody is getting a little more used to it, except the dog, who no longer knows me.
Are you meeting up with people now who you knew from performing in show business back in the 50s?
Yeah.
Who never left, people who never left the business?
Yes, and I'm meeting up with people whose careers have changed. And I just finished a 92nd Street Y series in New York. That's a wonderful auditorium. Lyrics and Lyricists, the series is called, with Jim Lowe, who, I don't know, I think way back, maybe 25 years ago, had a big record called Green Door. It was like the real rock and roll era. And now he's the program director and the major disc jockey at WNEW in New York, which is only, you know, what they call good music. So that was a whole revelation for me to see Jim again. And I worked with Tony Bennett. I've been working with Tony, seeing Tony again, and people like that. And I've also been lucky enough to meet up with some people who came into the business after I left and formed some wonderful – the best of the new relationships is Susanna McCorkle. We met each other at this concert series we did, and we just, you know, it was instant love. Once in a while you find someone, you feel that way. But I feel that way about Benita Valente, too. It's a whole different field, opera, but we took one look at each other and said, aha, there's someone I could know. I think maybe that's the most fun I'm having is the people that I'm meeting, the people who do not know me, who are surprised by what I do, as you were, and the people who remember me and are happy that I can still do it. It's nice.
The first time that we spoke on the show, you talked a little about how you spent some time, and I think it was the MGM studio.
2 years.
Yeah.
It seemed like 20.
Where you were being trained to be a possible standby for Judy Garland.
Right.
One of the songs that you do on this record is a song that she did in A Star Is Born.
Right.
Gotta Have Me Go With You.
Which was kind of, for a while, some of that footage was taken out until George Cukor put it all back in. At the time, exactly when I was thinking that this record would be released, I thought it would be a nice idea to sing that song. In the first place, it's Ira Gershwin and Harold Arlen. You can't really go wrong. And I also feel kind of close to that film because I was doing, and that was 1955, I guess, when it came out. And I was doing a local television show in Los Angeles, made up, and my hair was much darker then. And, you know, when there's going to be a sneak preview, it's supposed to be a secret, but everybody knows, and the word got out that they were sneaking this in Burbank. And I went made up right from my local show, right smack out there. And when I walked in, you know, made up with dark hair, there's an enormous resemblance to Judy. And the ushers immediately said, "We're waiting for you, come right." And I said, "No, no." And they said, "No, no, you know, we won't tell anybody or anything." I mean, and I said, "No, no, you don't understand, I'm not." And as I said it, she walked in. So I sat immediately behind her, one chair over at this sneak of this film, and I was able to watch her reactions.
What was it?
Well, she bit her nails, she cried, she looked ill. She was very, very emotional. It's a wonderful film. And she turned around and looked right at me. I've met her a number of times, and she did one of those, you know, what do you think looks, and I must have gone, ah, you know, because I loved it so. And this was an opportunity. I would never have sung anything of Judy's while she was alive. I just couldn't. But she's been gone a long time now, and I really felt it was all right to do this.
Do you hear her voice when you sing it?
Not at all. No, I don't. I really try not to do that. I just sang it. In the first place, this is a very funky, jazzy arrangement, as against a big band arrangement, which was how she did it. No, I don't. I don't hear any. No ghosts.
Okay. Oh, let's hear your recording of Gotta Have Me Go With You, with music by Harold Arlen and a lyric by Ira Gershwin. I should mention who's in the band on this. You want to?
Sure, I'd love to mention them. I think they're just about the best. This is Michael Abeni, who you met when I did the live concert. It's his arrangement and piano. The great Michael Moore on bass. You know, he's just, oh boy. Gene Bertoncini on guitar, Joe Cocuzzo on drums, Richard Sethalter on trumpet, and a man named Jimmy Malin, who only plays, he does nothing but go from record date to record date playing extra percussion, like those ching sounds and, you know, all that you get. That's it.
Okay, well, let's hear Peggy King from her new album, Oh, What a Memory We Made, singing Gotta Have Me Go With You.
What a spot this, not so hot this. Hey there, shy one, come be my one. Please don't brush off, want no brush off. I can't compel you to buy what I sell you, but I gotta tell you like so. so cool, you, when I'm ready to go steady. You wanna have eyes that'll shine, you wanna have grapes on the vine, you wanna love that's truly true, you gotta have me go with you. Why the hold out, have you sold out? Time you woke up, time you spoke up. This line I'm handing you is not a handout. As a team we'd be a standout. You wanna live high on a dime, you wanna have two hearts in rhyme, you gotta have me go with you all the time.
You Gotta Have Me Go With You, sung by my guest Peggy King, whose new album has just been released. It's called Oh, What a Memory We Made Tonight. You were telling me, Peggy, that that's actually a very difficult song to sing.
It is, because there's no place to breathe. You know, you just, it's ahead of the beat, and it's a very far-out song for Ira Gershwin, who, let's see, Ira was about 83 when he died, and this is only, you know, 24 years or so ago. I mean, it was... It's a very it's very jazzy. It's a very jazzy song. I have the feeling that Arlen wrote the music first, and then Ira put the words to it, because I don't think it could. I doubt seriously if it was done the other way. This is definitely some. I do it the other way. I write a lyric, and then I hand it to someone. And I sit with them, and I try to dictate to them by where the words fall, how it should go. But I don't believe that Ira Gershwin works that way. Everybody works differently. You know, there are songwriting teams like Martin and Blaine, you know, who wrote the Trolley song, and The Boy Next Door, who worked. Each of them wrote both words and music, and you never really know who wrote what when you heard it. And I'm writing. I'm beginning now for the first time. I'm beginning to write music. I'm beginning to have the courage, you know, to suggest, I think, that maybe we ought to sing this. This line should be sung like this or that. I've not had that courage before. I'm getting very brave here.
Wait, are you writing lyrics?
I am. I'm writing lyrics all the time. One of my songs is on the album with Dick Hyman. It's called I Always Think It's Love. And it's about a girl who ruins her whole life because she's in love with the film Casablanca. And she just thinks it's all going to, you know, happen that way.
You were talking about how difficult it is in a song like Gotta Have Me Go With You to find a place to breathe. When you're putting together a song, do you figure out where you're going to breathe in each line?
Well, there's an awful lot of fooling around on albums today, you know, where they splice in and they do several cuts and, you know, they do 25 takes or something. These are all either one or two takes. There's no splicing here. This is live. I wanted it that way. Do I think about breathing ahead? No. When you've been singing, I've been singing since I was five. You know, I just know. I just kind of know. I sing a song once, and then if I don't sing it again for 10 years, I just kind of remember where I breathed. I never run out of air because Mabel Mercer once told me that you'll never phrase wrong, and you'll never run out of air, and you'll never do anything wrong if you just tell the story. And even on an up tune, I try to do that. Sometimes I lay on a word that perhaps another singer wouldn't lay on, but that's the way I hear the phrase said. I mean, if 10 people in a room say the same sentence, they'll all say it a little differently.
Do you practice any kind of special breathing, diaphragmatic breathing?
No, I don't. Someone once asked my husband, how does Peggy warm up? And he said, she goes, which is about it. I don't know how long that's going to go on. I'm not experiencing any voice problems at the time. But I don't push myself. I don't sing wrong. I sing, you know, from the right place. But I do notice that if I'm going to do something more today, like a David Pomerantz song, I find that I do have to maybe warm up a little because, you know, they sing so high, these kids, and they write so high. I'm now singing C's and D's that I never used to sing. And I'm now writing for myself. I write that high, too, which I didn't used to do. I asked Benita Valente about that because she's an opera singer, and I thought she would know why my voice seems to be getting higher instead of lower, which it should. After 40, your voice should certainly get lower. And she said she thinks that I probably just about hit my peak when I quit and that it was just sort of lying there all these years, you know, waiting, that had I tried it at any time, it would have been there. But I might never have tried it again, but I did, and there it was.
Do you think your voice has changed in any other way?
I don't believe it's changed very much. I still sound like a little girl, which is not anything I try for. No, I think I'm a better singer. I really think that I'm a better singer now. I'm much more relaxed. My singing is much less, what's the word? It's much more... I'm not afraid to be emotional. I will let the tone, I'll never sing out of tune, but I will let the tone go a little, like at the end of that song, you know, when I say, yeah, 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 yeah. I would have never done that before. I was very pure. I was very, Peggy Lee oriented. And today I don't care so much. I will sacrifice that. I would even... get to the point where I would say a line if I felt that it was more expressive.
One of the songs that you've recently written is for a sports show.
Yes.
On cable television.
Isn't that a kick in the head?
It's kind of unexpected.
It's a blast because I don't know anything about football, and this is for NFL Films, for a show that's going on cable TV.
If you don't mind my asking, why did they ask you? You don't think, oh, football, yeah, Peggy King.
I don't know. I met Steve Sobel at a party at Harry Callis's, and my husband, I think Sam told him that I wrote industrials and I wrote a lot of my own lyrics and that I was writing a song for my new album and that I was getting an awful lot of calls to write, which I am. And he said, he was sitting with me at dinner, and I think Jasmine Callis arranged that. And he said, did you ever think about writing some things, you know, for some underscoring stuff, you know, for sports like football? I said, well, not really. I don't know anything about football. He said, but I think that's good because you don't come with anything, any preconceived notions. He said, would you like to? And I said, yes, call me. So he called within a few weeks. I wasn't expecting to hear from him. And he said, we have a new show called The Men Who Played the Game, which is going to be films starting, I don't know when professional football started, I suppose in the early 30s. And they've just got, you know, tons and tons and tons of footage. And they're going to use three men a week and it's to profile them. And at the beginning and the end of the show, they wanted a song in which they're showing slow motion films, you know, some of those famous films of like In the Rain when they used to play in the mud and the flying in the air. It was all so much more emotional then than it is now. Today it's very choreographed, I think. And he said, write me a song, but don't write about football. But I'd like a sort of the way we were kind of song. So I wrote a song called To Play the Game. And as it came out, it could be any game. It could be love. It's got a sign. It's got a middle section where it says, time will come and steal away the years. Fame one day will fade away and melt. But you will keep the laughter and the tears, and nothing can erase the way it felt to play the game. So it's a little more like, I don't know. I think it's sort of like my way, maybe. It certainly doesn't mention football.
Did you want anthem-sounding music underneath it?
No, I wanted a kind of, here's to the winners, I guess. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I was going. It's very difficult today because you get all you know, bogged down in descriptions of what it is you do. Now, this album, people keep asking me, what is it? What is it? I'm certainly not a jazz singer. I mean, if you want to compare me to Carmen McRae, I am certainly not a jazz singer. However, if you want to compare me to Cyndi Lauper, I am. And there are no pop singers, so what am I? And this is definitely a pop jazz album. At least it's being reviewed by the pop jazz people. But I also think I know to play the game is more pop rock or jazz rock. I don't know what it is. It's more... I'm writing songs for my son, who's a rock singer, but they're much more... I don't know, what would you call Neil Diamond? Would you call that pop? Is he a pop singer?
I'd probably call it pop, yeah.
Well, I'm afraid to say pop because I have these... When I say pop, I think Michael Jackson, you know? But I guess that's rock.
Or funk.
Well,
it gets confusing.
But, yeah, so, you know, you have to be careful. So, you know what I'm really doing, Terry, is I'm just writing as good as I know how, and... no matter what I'm asked to write for, if it's a movie, if it's a television theme, if it's a song for me to sing in my own act, whatever it is, I just did something at Settlement Music School, and I did a lot of Rodgers and Hart, a lot of Gershwin, a lot of Berlin, and then I did David Pomerantz, and then I did this song of mine, To Play the Game, which has the real, you know, Baptist church chords on the bottom. And everybody loved it. They were Benita Valente, you know, who's an opera singer, was just crazy about the pop rock stuff I did. Perhaps there's a very maybe it's a razor's edge. Maybe it's a very thin line. I don't know.
Well, I hope I get to hear it sometime. Not having cable, I don't know.
Well, we're thinking of recording it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we might release it commercially.
Well, good.
I'll send you a tape of it.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Good luck with. Your new album and with
thank you.
The touring that I suspect you'll be doing.
Yeah, I'm starting to work on a new album of Irving Berlin tunes.
Great.
Yeah. There's a lot of Irving Berlin that's not being done out there.
Well, we have time for one more song, and this is a Birk Van Usen collaboration called Sleigh Ride in July.
Maybe it'll cool us all.
Yeah, I hadn't heard this before your album.
No?
How did you know
you're
the song?
Too young.
Was
because
it a hit before?
Yes, it's from Belle of the Yukon, and it was sung by Dinah Shore. In a terrible movie that absolutely nothing happened to, but the song remained.
Okay. Well, let's hear Sleigh Ride in July from Peggy King's new album, Oh, What a Memory We Made Tonight. And Peggy, it was great to see you again.
It was great to see you, too.
Thanks
Thank
a lot
you.
For being here.
Thank you.
If I were the type to play around, it wouldn't be so bad. But I didn't know my way around, and what a time I had. I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. Set up for a sigh. A mockingbird was whistling a sentimental tune, and I didn't know enough to come in out of the moonlight. So the big romance was only make-believe, just a sleigh ride on a balmy summer eve. My dreams were safe all winter, and then to think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. Thank you. set up for a sigh. A mockingbird was whistling a sentimental tune, and I didn't know enough to come in out of the moonlight. So the big romance was only make believe, just a sleigh ride on a balmy summer eve. My dreams were safe all winter, and then to think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in July.
Peggy King singing Sleigh Ride in July.